This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. Well, April, Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and from Peace at Home Advocacy Center, the Sexual Assault Services Director, Nicole Rodriguez. Thanks for coming in.
It's nice to be back in the studio, Kyle.
Yeah, in person and all of that. We were just talking about that ahead of things, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But your agency helps a lot of victims of sexual assault. What are some of the, I mean, this is intense. What are some of the impacts on those that are victimized?
That's a great question. So, you know, the traumatic event that folks experience with sexual violence can be brief, but often the effects last for a long time. Folks will experience post-traumatic stress disorder, similar to folks that have gone to war. And so the impacts of sexual violence can be extremely powerful in people's lives. Can be difficult to go to work, focus on what you need to focus on, feel safe. It can just completely change your outlook on the world.
And I mean, can you look at like an outside situation? Maybe you're in a public setting and you know, somebody maybe yells at somebody, maybe even in a friendly way. I mean, can things like that kind of set you off a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Lots of what we might use the word triggers, just things that kind of set us back into that fight or flight response. Our body feels like we need to protect ourselves, even if it's just a seemingly small threat. Yeah.
And I imagine that some of that can linger for a very long time.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's folks that we work with for years and years, just kind of trying to support them through that healing journey. And some folks just need a brief intervention, but it definitely impacts everybody differently.
Well, I would think that it's not something you ever forget.
No. And our bodies have a hard time forgetting things like that. When we've been through something traumatic, it almost makes an imprint on our brain and the way that our brain is wired and functions. And so if there's kind of an interruption in that process, those neural pathways, it can almost completely rewire your brain. Yeah.
So can that lead to even issues in healthy relationships up the road?
Yeah, I would say that that's one thing that we really support folks with is trying to figure out kind of trust again, trust in themselves, trust in others, and really feeling like they know themselves and can feel a sense of safety because that has dramatically changed for them.
Now, for the month of April, are there any kind of awareness events going on to take note of this?
There are. So my coworker Aaron, who works out at UCC, is holding an art competition right now for folks to submit something that is kind of based off of what we're saying, Sexual Assault Action Month. So ways that we can support survivors. We had a panel out at UCC where we had a nurse and we had somebody that does Title IX work to kind of talk to nursing students about what their role is in the process of supporting survivors at the hospital. And then we've also had, we're partnering with SoCo Coffee in Myrtle Creek and River Blends in Roseburg. They're handing out stickers this month for people that come through their drive-through, just kind of supporting survivors so we can kind of get the word out about our crisis line and how to get support services.
What kinds of services do these folks need? Because I imagine it probably varies with the person.
Yes. Yeah, so very often folks might need to access counseling of some sort. They may need to access a support group, places where they can just kind of talk to other folks that have been through what they've been through and really kind of get that good peer support. Sometimes it's healthcare that they need. There's just a lot of various needs. Sometimes it's even support with the legal system too.
And, you know, walking into that arena is its own sometimes traumatizing situation because you've gone through something and you want to see something happen because of it. But you're not, I mean, it's like you're almost going, you know, the situation, you're kind of having to deal with it over and over again if you're going to pursue that route.
Yes. So that is one thing that we've been working on in our community, is kind of a trauma-informed response to working with individuals. And with a trauma-informed model, one goal is to not re-traumatize the individual. And so we work really closely with law enforcement and the hospital to provide options for survivors to only have to tell their story, you know, once or twice maybe, just in a really supported environment, so that we are working on kind of the healing part of the process as opposed to traumatizing them more.
Because, and I'm aware of other types of traumatic situations not related to this, but, you know, where folks have had someone in their family maybe pass away who was well known in whatever community they lived in, and well-meaning people, you know, the next year want to remember that, okay, well, this person died a year ago today and all that.
Mm-hmm.
That's well meant, but for the family, it's like, here we go again.
Right, right. Yeah, because, you know, like we just talked about, our bodies remember these events. And so folks can kind of already be a little activated or a little on edge when it starts to get time to that anniversary cycle. And so, yes, that is definitely something that can be re-traumatizing.
Now, how do you normally initially connect with victims of sexual assault?
There's a couple different ways. So individuals can reach out to us on their own for support. But the other method would be somebody that maybe is connected with law enforcement or is going to the emergency room for services. Often folks might have medical needs that they need taken care of. And so the hospital will reach out to an advocate on our 24-hour crisis line, and an advocate will respond right then to go to the hospital, meet with them, let them know what their options are, because folks have a couple different options when it comes to reporting.
And then how do you have your kind of relationships with law enforcement set up? I mean, you guys talk back and forth quite a bit.
Yeah. So, you know, we have very strict confidentiality with our clients. But in these types of cases, there's often circumstances in which law enforcement needs to communicate with them more, ask more questions. And so we'll sometimes be the go-between of law enforcement and the victim to provide kind of that stable support while they're going through another interview. Or if they need to speak with law enforcement, because, you know, just the presence of somebody with a badge sometimes can be a little overwhelming.
How prevalent is sexual violence?
That's a really good question. So the statistics that we currently have are that 1 in 4 women have experienced some sort of sexual violence. 1 in 6 for men is the general statistic. But the state of Oregon actually has a pretty high population compared to the rest of the United States. Our estimate is that over half of the female population in Oregon have experienced some sort of sexual violence, and that's from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Wow. And that's violence, not just stupid remarks or
Correct.
Things like that.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Any idea why it would be more in Oregon?
I don't really have a good guess as to why. I think that there may be some history of trauma that could kind of lead us to this point that we're at, but I don't really have a good answer as to why there's more in Oregon.
Do you feel like, especially given the issue, that this is often underreported?
I do. So there's a really interesting chart that kind of shows the estimated amount of sexual assaults that people experience versus kind of, it's an upside down triangle. So the bottom of the triangle is showing how many people are actually going to get prosecuted for that. And so our guess is that about 7% of people actually experience some sort of like legal justice for their experience. So I think just as a society in general, we don't necessarily always have the best support for this process. It's a difficult crime to prosecute because there's often not a witness or evidence. It's really tricky.
And April, Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Nicole Rodriguez with us from Pisidoma Advocacy Center. More when we come back on Inside Douglas County. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson coming at 1. Nicole Rodriguez, a sexual assault services director from Peace at Home Advocacy Center. April, Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and talking about the sober topic tonight or this afternoon. What about the myths and maybe misconceptions around sexual violence?
That's a good thing to bring up. So I think one thing is that really this can happen to anyone. I think that there's kind of this idea that maybe we've had for a long time about, you know, a woman who is scantily dressed walking down the street and she gets attacked. And really what we know to be true is that this can happen to anybody. Men can experience sexual violence. I think that's a misconception that we've had for a long time, that it's only happening to women. And I think that another misconception is that folks maybe think that it's an easy thing to say that somebody was assaulted and then somebody gets in trouble and it ruins their life. And there's definitely instances where that happens. But for the most part, it's a very, very difficult crime to have prosecuted. So what we see locally is really not a whole lot of justice in the legal system for individuals that have been through this.
And for men, do you find that it's harder for them to report these situations?
Absolutely. Yeah. There's just as a society, you know, we kind of have ideas around masculinity and how men can defend themselves and take care of themselves. But really, when it comes to this kind of violence, power and control doesn't have to look like physical power. It can be more of a mental power over somebody, or even just, you know, a longer grooming process of getting somebody to be okay with something that they're not.
Do you find that there are times when these situations happen in workplaces where, you know, people are around each other all day? Sometimes folks end up, you know, going out to socialize a little bit after work, or at least they did before COVID. I don't know. But, you know, and a lot of that is pretty innocuous, but sometimes things happen.
Yeah. And I think that one change that I would say that I've seen that maybe has kind of been brought to the forefront a little bit is the focus on dating apps. So I think that sometimes we just feel like we can trust people on the internet a lot more than we can. And so we have seen an increase in violence that's resulted from people that just thought they could trust somebody that they met on a dating app, and things really went sideways.
Well, and I would imagine, I have not really been on one of those, but
yeah.
when you look at any of those platforms, even just Facebook for regular communication about other things, you know, you can say whatever on your profile, and you are whatever, and you may have a picture of you, and it may be you and it may not be you, and you can lie up a storm, and then you show up at the meeting place and then things go south in a hurry.
Yes. So one of the things that we do want to work on is maybe doing some outreach at restaurants, bars, just to kind of let people know that it's always okay to bail if you're feeling weird about your date or your gut is telling you that something is off. Somebody doesn't match up with what their profile said that they were. You know, it's always okay to get out of a situation, get to a place where you can think a little bit more clearly, and then evaluate, you know, later if you want to engage with that person again.
Do you think sexual violence has increased in recent years, or has it gone down, or what do we know?
I think that we have seen an increase in it. I don't know, you know, a scientific reason behind it. I don't know if folks have just kind of been cooped up for so long that we're maybe not great about communicating the ways that we used to be, or just our skills aren't quite as sharp in communicating. And like I said, the dating app thing, we've seen an increase in people kind of meeting strangers. Yeah.
What about, and I just thought of this, something else you said made me think of this. What about the whole pandemic of the last 2 years? How has that impacted this issue?
We have not seen a decrease in hospital responses. So I would say that, you know, this type of violence has still been on the rise despite maybe more casual social interactions that people have been, that they've had in the past.
And do you think because of COVID, there's a potential for even more underreporting?
I would say so, yes. I mean, we struggle with underreporting as is, but, you know, for a while, just when the hospital system was overwhelmed, I think it did make folks a little bit more hesitant about, you know, accessing healthcare services.
For victims, talk about some of the long-term versus short-term impacts.
Sure. So short-term could look like, you know, extreme anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder, inability to eat, sleep, go to work, take care of yourself. It can almost look like a complete regression in just regular behavior. Some of the long-term impacts will also be that anxiety, depression, just not feeling like yourself, just feeling like a shell of who you used to be.
Does that also lead to less trust in other relationships, even ones that, you know, aren't dating or sexual or anything like that?
Yes, and that is something that we do support folks with a lot, is just how can they have confidence in their relationships with people? How can they trust their gut if they know that something isn't right? Because, you know, violence of any sort can really kind of make you question yourself and your sense of safety. And so getting back to a point where people feel like they can trust those around them can be really difficult.
If you've got a friend or coworker or family member that you realize has been a victim, how can you help support them?
So listening is really important. Just being there for that person, giving them a safe space to process however they need to, even if their emotions are really messy at the time. And then really encouraging them that you can go with them to access support services if they would feel better with that. You know, nobody should have to go through this alone. And so we really just want folks to feel like they have a place that they can go to access resources, a place where they can get referrals for mental health care, and really just kind of have some wraparound services so that they can get on their healing journey.
Of the people listening to this right now, I imagine there's somebody that is sort of kind of opening a wound. And if they realize they need help, or somebody realized they've been on the predator side of this, how do you get them connected?
Absolutely. So, you know, mental health care can be one access point for folks if they need support in either direction of that. And then connecting them with our services. So we have our 24-hour crisis line, and that would give them access to an advocate any time of the day or night where they can just process with somebody if it's something that happened a long time ago and they just need a minute to breathe and talk. We're here for that. If it's somebody that is ready to engage in reporting or, you know, wanting to do something about what happened to them, that's another thing that we're there for. And so our crisis line number is 541-673-7867.
Nicole Rodriguez from Peace at Home Advocacy Center, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Kyle.
1257.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.